holding on to Zion and Bays, seven lines from the bottom, the last word. Actually, check that. That is what we're holding, yeah. Okay, so we talked yesterday about the whole question of one person versus two people bringing a get from Medina Siyam. Do they need to say b'fana nechtem or not? We brought up possibilities that maybe they don't, and that's why the Mishnah would say, and that's why at least Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah that in certain cases, that in the cases where you had, what do we have in the Mishnah, where you had one person saying b'fana nechtem and the other one saying b'fana nechtem, the Gemara had said that Rabbi Yehuda would say that's kosher, even though in the Mishnah didn't say that explicitly. And then you have the case where two said b'fana nechtem and one said b'fana nechtem, where the Mishnah says explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda says it would be kosher. So on this topic, the Gemara tells, Rabba Baba Chana Cholash, I think actually we left off the last two lines of the Ikman. I mean, they said also, Amr Bihoda, Shnaim Shev Yoget from Medina Siyam, that if two people bring get from Medina Siyam, Bonon, Macholikus, Yoget, Rabbonon, then we actually have that Macholikus, Yoget, and the Chachamim, do they need to sit upon an extra upon an extra. So, Rabba Baba Chana Cholash, one time Rabba Baba Chana wasn't feeling well. So, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba went to be mevakar chayla, and in the course of the visit, bo mine, they asked him this question. Halacha, shnayim shevi get mendina sayam. If two people bring a get to Rabba Baba Chana, I actually saw somebody pointing out that maybe it shouldn't be Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the one from all the famous stories and all, because he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and you wouldn't have Rabbi Yehuda needing to ask him a question in Halacha. Rather, it may have been Rabba Bar Chana from the previous generation. Rabba Bar Chana was a cousin of Rav. Okay, anyway. So, Bomine, so they asked him this question. Shnaim Shev Yer Get from Medina Siyam. If you have two people bringing a get from Medina Siyam, Tzuchin Shiyam, Rufanen Nechta, Tzuchin. Do they need to make this declaration or not? Omalahem ain't Tzuchin. So he tells them they don't need to. Because Ma Ilu Yom Rufanenu Girsha Mila Mehemni.
Tzuchin.
Yeah. So he says that in fact they don't need to. Because, so here we just said, the Gemara just finished saying that actually that would be the Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and our Mishnah. So now, Rabba Bar Chana, whatever, is telling them flatly, you shouldn't need to, because you have a different consideration. Not the consideration we were mentioning yesterday, that two people bringing a get is an unusual thing, and the Chachamim are not going to make takanas for unusual situations, but rather a different consideration. What if these two people, instead of saying, we'll shluchim to bring the get, and deliver it over here, if they were to say she was divorced in our presence, Milay Mehemi, wouldn't we believe them? They're two Adim. Therefore, by the same logic, we should be able to believe them also when they say b'fana nechtem. So actually, Rashi and Tosfos discuss earlier in the Masechta what the idea behind it is. Are we talking about therefore that, in other words, they are Adim b'tzurin l'kaimei, right? They're Adim who, if the husband objects and says it's a false get, it's a fake get or whatever, they're able to be mekayim it? Or is it Tosfos talks about that basically they have a migri? They could have used the stronger claim. She was divorced in our presence. We don't have a get that we have to bring and deliver here at all. So if they're using the weaker claim, then instead we have a get and we're delivering, but we can vouch for the fact that it was all done correctly, even without us having been present, then we can take them at their word on that. Because maybe that's what I should say. Okay, Adahachi, as they were talking, Osahu Chabra a certain chabra came and took away the candle from in front of them. A chabra, Rashi says, means a Persian. So we'll talk about in a minute who these chabri are. Let's first get through it. He took away the candle because they had, it was their holiday. These Persians, these chabrim, whatever, worshipped fire, or they considered fire to be a manifestation of their god. No, this is in Babel. This is in Babel. Rabbi Yehuda lived his whole life in Babel, yeah. So, which is another reason why it's more logical to say it's Rabba Bar Chana rather than Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who lived in Eretz Yisrael and occasionally visited Babel. Anyway, he took away the candle because this was one of the Persian chagas, one of their holidays, when they only allowed fire to be burning in their temples, in their churches, nowhere else. So he came and took the candle. Omar, so Rabba Bar Chana was very upset. He says, Rachmana, Ebishtir, Oy Betulach, either we should be in your shadow, meaning under your... Yeah. Either we should be under your shadow, under your direct protection, or tulach meaning your shadow, like betzel knafecha. No, tula is the Aramaic equivalent of betzel.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, and you have a lot of words where there's a tzaddik in Hebrew and a tes in Aramaic. Yeah. Another example is how tzarayim becomes tihara, a bunch of examples. Anyway. So oibatulach, either we should be in your shadow, in your protection, oibatulach debar Esav, or let us be under the shadow, under the protection of the sons of Esav. Not here in Babel, under the Persians. What do you mean? The Romans are better than the Persians? But Rabchia taught a bright. What does it mean? The Pasuk says, the Eidosh understood its way, meaning the way of Chachma, the way of Torah. He knew the proper place for it. Meaning, whatever. The Eidosh knows. It, meaning, in other words, the Eidoshter Haven, he considers what's the best way and what's the best place for the Torah. So it means, the Eidoshter knows that the Jewish people wouldn't be able to stand the Xeris of the Romans. So instead he sent them off to Babel. So what is Rabbi Baba Chana saying that better we should be under the Romans than under the The answer is, Loikasha, well, that's what we have to figure out. Loikasha. It's before and after the Chavrim came. Now, who are these Chavrim? So Rashi says Chavrim means the Persians. Meaning, in other words, according to Rashi, the verse is like this. You had, originally there was Babel, which was ruled over by the Babylonians, or Kastim, whatever, in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, they were much better than any of the others. They were much better than the Romans would eventually be in their times, or than the Persians, or whatever. Therefore, they just sent them off into Galus there. Then, 50-odd years later, when the Persians conquered Babel, so usually we think of that was a good time. Kurdish allowed everybody to return to Eretz Israel, etc. According to Rashi, it comes out of here that began a bad time. The Persians, because they have this fanatical religion, where among other things they have two gods and they worship fire, etc., they caused a lot of trouble for the Jewish people. We learned about it in different places. We looked in Yevamos, for example, that they told Rabbi Yochanan and the Chabri have come to Babel, and he was so stunned that he fell off his chair. Which brings Tosfos to ask, in that case, if they first came in the times of Rabbi Yochanan, and we have other Gemaras also that imply that these Chabrim didn't exist in Babel in earlier times. What is it actually saying that they were there all the way from when Kodesh conquered Babel before the second Mishnah was even built? So therefore, Tosfos instead says the explanation that Chabri is not the Persians in general. They are, there are people, a religious group or whatever, who came to Babel and conquered it and took over in the times of Rab and Rabbi Yochanan. And they, up until then, the Persians were basically good people. They wounded them. So that's when we're talking about these Chabrim. Okay, so you have, putting it in historical terms, the Persians had this religion, Zoroastrianism it's called. They believed there's a god of good and a god of evil, and they believed that, among other things, one manifestation of good is fire, and therefore, yes, on their chagas they would only have hot fire, they would have fire, they would allow fire only in their temples. What happened was, basically, especially going according to what Tosfos is saying over here, what happened was the Persians had been ruling over Persia and over Babel for hundreds of years at that point. And they had this religion, but they were pretty relaxed about it. Then all of a sudden, these Chabrim, or the new dynasty, comes. Their ancestors have been galochim, have been priests of this religion, so they're fanatical about it. They're like ISIS, you know, compared to the ones who were there before them. So all of a sudden, they're starting to cause trouble over here with this business, for example, of taking away the candle. That's what he's saying. So according to Rashi, it comes out what the Gemara is saying is that originally when the Eidoshter sent the Jewish people to Babel, that was the best place. But then beginning when Kodesh conquered the place 50 years later, then things started going south. Not that Eidoshter didn't know it, but at least at the time, when he sent them there, they were better off in Babel than they would have been anywhere else. According to Tosfos, rather, the idea is that for several hundred years after they went to Babel, things were in good shape. Because even when the Persians conquered it and they had this new religion and all, they still didn't bother the Jewish people. Then came the Chabrim at the beginning of the time of the Gemara, in the times of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and they started causing trouble. So we're talking around, according to that, according to Tosfos' explanation, we'd be talking somewhere around somewhere around 600 years. No. We're talking, no, when the Chabrim came and then conquered Babel, historically, in the 3rd century.
300
years. In the 3rd century CE. 200 something CE. Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about much earlier. We're talking about Koresh conquered Babel 400 BCE. The one thing, Maharam Shif talks about then, still after all, even with all of that, you're going to say the Persians are better than the Romans. You know, what on earth? Look at what the Romans did to us. He says, actually, Rashi points out over here that the Romans at least have an advantage because they honor the Torah. Shein mechabdin, they honor us. Shein mechabdin, well, they honor us. Shein mechabdin, I said, they honor us. So therefore, this brings my Ram Shif to say that what the vort is, that the vort is, therefore, Esav is unique among all the nations of the world in that their rulership over us is contingent on whether we're learning Torah or not. Whereas Yitzchak says to Esav when he gives him the brachas, after he comes back complaining that there aren't any brachas left for me, he tells him, "V'hoya kasha torid, when you have reason to complain, or parakta ulam al tzavarecha, then you'll be able to throw off the yoke of Yaakov." Meaning, as long as the Jewish people are being oisik v'torid over mitzvahs, you have no power over them. Once they slack off on that, that's when you're going to be able to get in. So therefore, Rabbi Baba Chana is saying, nowadays, in the times of the Gemara, that we're being careful with Torah and mitzvahs, then yes, we're better off with the Romans than we are with the Persians, where there's no contingency like that. Their rule over us is absolute. In fact, there's a Gemara in Yuma that in that connection that mentions that the Tsar, the Malach of Persia, tried to force that even the Talmud Chachamim should have to pay taxes, and Gabriel successfully opposed him in that. Ben Yalyada adds a similar idea. He says the vort is basically for the common people, maybe they're better off under the Persians than under the Romans. But for the Talmud Chachamim, which is what we're dealing with over here, they're in a way better off under the Romans, who aren't going to harass them and, for example, take away their candle, than under the Persians. Okay, but it also depends what period we're talking about. The period we're talking about, the Roman Empire was starting to fall apart already, so therefore in the 3rd century or so, the Roman Empire was starting to fall apart. They didn't have as much energy to deal with harassing the Jewish people as the Persians did. So therefore, yeah. Going back to the Mishnah, Echadim v'fanin nechdem v'shnayim v'fanin nechdem kosher, we said in the Mishnah, the last case, was one person said it was written in my presence, two people said it was signed in our presence, then we say it's kosher, according to everybody, even the Chachamim. So, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yechon, and Loishonu Eloshan get Yeretz Metachas Yad Eid Ksiva. This is only talking about if the get is in the hands of the one who, of the aid who says that it was written. Who says that it was written. So then, as usual, we believe the shliach, the equivalent of two. You know what? I forgot to mention one thing, by the way, as far as this previous Gemara. What's the connection? The Ksav Sofer asks an interesting question. What's the connection that Dapka, while they're discussing this point, about a guest that's being brought by two people, Dapka then, this guy walks in and takes the candle, and they have this whole discussion about the Romans versus the Persians. He says the connection is as follows. What's Rabbi Baba Chana saying? We're not worried anymore about Rabbi's reason to need b'fanin nechdem b'fanin nechdem, because lomdu, because the Bnei Chutzlaretz have learned about the Shema, so therefore we don't have to worry about that anymore. We're not worried about Ein Eidim Mitzrayim L'Kaimah, because you have two people. So the Eibishter sends him a message. Look what happens over here. The Chaver walks in and takes the candle. Meaning, in other words, and that kind of thing, enough harassment like that is going to cause that right here in Bava, where you have such a large number of Jews, people are going to end up forgetting details of Torah. Allah has come with Amay in other places in Midnas Yam. Don't be so sure that once they've learned that they're never going to forget again. You see that the things can always change. So if the get is Yotze Metachas Yad Eid Ksiva, the Nasu Kishnayim Azeh, effectively then what you have two people saying that it was written in my presence, because Shliach is the equivalent of two people, and two people saying it was signed, because the Mishnah is saying, you have two people saying it was signed, so then we're good. Avon Metachas Yad Eid Chassima Puzzle. But if the get is in the hands of the people who are testifying about the signatures, then it's Puzzle. And not the Eid Ksiva, then it's Puzzle. Alma Kasava, which evidently means that Rab Ami and Rabbi Yechanan hold, Shnayim Shevyu Getim Dinasiyam Tzrichen Shiyam Rufanein Nechta Rufanein Nechtam. That even if you have two, they would need to say Rufanein Nechtam, which yesterday we had two Lashonis in what Rabbi Yechanan had said, whether they do or they don't. So this would be going according to the second Lashon over there, which we said that even if you have two people bringing the get, you still need to say Rufanein Nechtam. Omalurabasi, so Rabasi asked him, Elamayata, so then in that case they have to consider ratio. What about the beginning of the Mishnah? We said that if the other way around, two people say it was written in our presence, one says it was signed in my presence, and it's possible, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Does that mean Rabbanon? So you're telling me then that it would be possible that Rabbanon would say it's possible even if it's in the hands of both of the people who are saying b'faneinu nichtav? So he says yes. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah means. Then Zimnin, another time, Ashkechedi Yosef, Rav Asi found Rav Ami sitting and saying, they're sitting and talking about this another time, and he was saying as follows, Da'afilu get yotzim, tachasideh edichasim akosher. No, even if the get, it's not like in the first Lashon where we said that if it's in the hands of the edichasim, then it's possible. No, in the second version he was saying that even if it's in the hands of the edichasim, then it's kosher. Al-Makasava, which evidently means that he holds, Shnaim Shev, you get him, then if you have interest in Shemro, Bufanenu Nechta, Bufanenu Nechta, and that if you have two people, you don't, because therefore, in other words, even though you have, because in the first version, what we were saying is that if you have, that again, in the first version, we said is, if it's in the hands of the one who says Bufanenu Nechta, then we're good, because he's the Shliach Helacha, he's the equivalent of two, and therefore, yes, so you have two for that, and you have two for the Edich Sima, and then you're good. No, so that's the thing. So you have, in other words, you have three different people over here. You have the shliach who's testifying about the chesiva, and you have two who are testifying about the chesiva. So that's what we're saying. So in the first version, Rav Ami had said that if get is in the hands of the eight chesiva, of the one who's saying the funny nichtav, then he's the equivalent of two, and then you have two who are saying about the chesima, and there you go. But if you don't have it only in the hands of the Eidei Chesima, then you have a problem because we discount the one person who says b'fanei nichtav because he's not a shliach. You can't trust him like two. He's not a shliach. Therefore, you only have the equivalent of b'fanei nichtav, and therefore that's no good. That was version number one. Now, version number two.
If you trust him.
Yeah, because in general, you can't trust one person. You usually need two. Only in the case of a shliach halacha can you trust him as the equivalent of two. Because as we said at the beginning of the Masechta Mishum Iguna, because of the Igun, the Rabbanon will make. So now in the second version, Rav Asi was saying that no, even if the get is in the hands of the Eidei Chesima, so therefore, yeah, in other words, you have one person came in and said b'fani nichtav, and we should ignore him because he's not a shliach. Nevertheless, we say that the get is kosher, which is equivalent of saying that you really don't have to say b'fani nichtav, b'fani nichtav at all.
You have one that testified to the Chesima.
One that testified to the Chesima.
To the
Ksiva. So we, in effect, we're saying we ignore him because if he's the shliach, that's different. But if he's not the shliach, then there's no reason to trust him any more than you would trust any random person off the street because you need two. But you have two people saying b'faneinu nechtam, which is the equivalent, therefore, of saying that edim mitzuyim l'kaimah. They can say that we are able to verify the signatures on this get. Or we had Rav Baba Hanus Svara before that they could even say b'faneinu girsha. Whatever. So therefore, evidently, then that means that if we say that way, then it means that if people are bringing a get from a dinner for yam, if it's two people, they don't have to say b'faneinu nechtav, b'faneinu nechtav. So even though there's no b'faneinu nechtav in this case, it's good. Omle Rabasi, Elamei after Reisha. Well, in that case, you have to look at the beginning of the Mishnah. Where it said that if you have two people say it was written in our presence, and one said it was signed in my presence. Two shluchim, who said it was written in our presence, one says it was signed in my presence, Passover Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, so the Chachamim said it's Passover, Rabbi Yehuda said it's kosher. So let's consider. Taima de'ena get yotzim tachas yidei shneihem. Evidently then, specifically we're talking about, we must specifically be talking about a case where the get is not in the hands of the two people who are saying b'faneinu nichtav. That implies then, are you telling me that if the get was in the hands of the two people who were saying b'faneinu nechtav, then the Chachamim would say, kosher? So he said, yes. However, he asked him, but last time you didn't tell me like that. Last time you told me that even if the get is in the hands of both of them, the Chachamim would still say it's possible because you need a proper b'faneinu nechtav, why all of a sudden now are you changing your mind? So Rav Ami tells him, Yosid Hishle Timur. This is an immovable peg. Meaning, in other words, this is the way I'm saying it now, the second way, is definitely the right way, and that's what you should stick to. That if you have two people...
So what does that mean? He changed his...
He changed his mind. First he understood the Mishnah one way. Or first he understood what Rabbi Yochanan had said one way. Remember, yesterday we had two different Lashonis within what Rabbi Yochanan had said. First he understood it one way. Then he rethought it over. No, but that's, yesterday we mentioned a Lishna Achrina. We had two different ways of understanding what Rabbi Yochanan had said. But here also, Rabbi first understood Rabbi Yochanan one way, and then he rethought it over and understood it the other way. And then concluded that's the correct way. And that's the halacha, therefore, that if you have two people bringing a get from a dinas yam, they don't need to say b'fana nechta. Mishnah says, "Nichtet b'yom v'nechtem b'yom." If the get was written by day and signed by day, or b'layla v'nechtem b'layla, or if it was written by night and signed that same night, or b'layla v'nechtem b'yom, or it was written by night and signed by day, in all those cases, it's kosher. You don't have an issue because the date on the get, which we're going to talk about in the Gemara, the business of the date on a get, the date is correct because hayom ha'lachacha layla and halacha. The day begins with the night before. So therefore, if it's written during the day and signed during the day, obviously you're good. In fact, the Forshim asks why the Mishnah even needs to mention that case. If it was written at night and signed at night, you're also good because it's still the same calendar date. If it was written by night and signed by day, you're vayter good because it's still the same calendar date. If it was written at night and then signed the following morning, fine, it's the following morning, but fine, it's still the same day. So in all those cases, it's fine. It's kosher. By the way, though, in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about this, which you were talking about as far as writing and signing the get. What about, it talks in Shulchan Aruch, what about delivering the get by night? There are Rishonim who argue that delivering a get at night is no good because it's Maiseh Beis Din, it's similar to a Din Torah, and Dinei Torah has to take place by day. Mela writing the get, Mela signing the get, fine. That's not the real Maiseh Beis Din yet. But the actual delivering of the get, they argue, needs to be done by day. And there are some of them actually who even say that a get that's delivered at night would be possible. Therefore, so that Amar and Shulchan Aruch brings, therefore, that a get should not be given at night in order to be choshish for that opinion. If it's a shachat chak, if it's an emergency situation, and the only time you're going to be able to deliver it is by night. For example, the guy's about to die, and you don't want his wife to end up being a shemeres yavam or whatever the possible cases are, then you can deliver it at night and be soimach on the opinions that it's okay. So therefore, according to all that, then the chiddush and the mishnah of Balayla. Yeah.
So
the halacha is a din can only take place by day. If you have tchilas din took place by day, then gemar din can take place by night. Fine, but the actual giving of the get is considered the whole din in itself, according to that opinion.
Apparently not. I mean, if we're talking about
on the contrary, we're talking about the writing and the signing is the preliminaries, but that's not part of the din yet. The actual din consists of the delivering of the get in the presence of Beis Din. Okay, whatever. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So that would be the chiddush of the Mishnah. Then Balayla v'nechtem Balayla, even though the get was written and signed at night, we're not saying there's no problem with that because the get can be written at night and it can be signed at night. It just can't be delivered at night, according to that opinion. Okay. But by yom v'nechtem Balayla, but if the get was written during the day and signed the following night, then it's possible. Because then you have the problem that it's predated. Because what do you have? The date then is going to be written. The point is the date is written. You have the get is written. It's written with a date. You know, what's today? Wednesday, the 18th of Tevet. By the time it's delivered, it's already Wednesday night. It's already considered Thursday, la halacha, the 19th of Tevet. Therefore, you have a problem. It's a predated get, so it's possible. For reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Reb Shimon says it's kosher. As a matter of fact, all gittin, meaning all shtarot that were written by day and signed the following night, are psulin because they're predated. Chutz migittin nashim, except for a get of a woman. The part is like this, basically. If you have a get, or if you have any shtar, generally speaking, a shtar creates a shibud. So therefore, for example, when it comes to, let's say, a shtar of a shtar chov, for example, so what's going to happen? So you have, let's say, the shtar was written on Wednesday, but it wasn't signed until Wednesday night, which already the halacha is considered Thursday. So now what's going to happen is, eventually, if a shivud is created as soon as that shtar is signed and delivered, so therefore, what's going to end up happening is that everybody's going to think that the shivud began on Wednesday, and really not. The shivud only began on Thursday. If the loiva were to have sold property on Wednesday, it wouldn't be under the shivud of the shtar yet. Therefore, so for that reason, a shtar that's predated is possible. So the Chachamim are extending that to all shtaris, Gittin included, for reasons which we'll talk about in the Gemara. And Rav Shimon says Gittin are an exception. Because not a matter of collection, basically. I think the payer, sure, somebody asks that question and answers that. No, never mind that. The point rather is, collecting the suba, the shivud already exists from the time that she was married. There's no new shivud that's being created as of the date of the get. All she needs is a get in her hand to show I'm divorced. She doesn't need it to be dated on a certain date for that purpose. But there's going to be other considerations that we'll talk about in the Gemara that mean that a get has to have a precise date on it. One other thing before I should point out in this connection is one of the chidushim's nichta bayev and nechta bayev is what about the possibility there'll be the various considerations that we talk about in the Gemara. You could have even within the same day. You could have, for example, let's say the get was written at 9 o'clock in the morning and signed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You have a 6-hour window over there when you're going to think the get was in effect, but it wasn't. And the fact is, you don't write hours in Gittin. Okay, but that's you go by the date. You can't go by the hours because you actually don't write hours in Gittin. Even with regular shtaris, the Gemara mentions in a few places that in Yerushalayim they used to write the hour of a shtar in it. But in all the places it is, they just wrote the date. So Itzmar, so the Chachamim had a discussion with name Ma Tiknu Zman Begitin. Why indeed did the Chachamim make a takana that you have to write the date in a get, given that there's no Zman means the date. No, means the date, yeah. So why do you have to write the date? Given that you don't have the issue of creating a shivud that you do with other
shtaris.
What?
There's no shivud.
Why should it matter? Which also, Beforshim, by the way, deal with the question, how does the Gemara know for a fact that you have to write a date in the get anyway? So there are some of them that say that we deduce it from our Mishnah. We said, what would be the logical reason to say that if the get is written by day and signed the following night, that it should be possible? Must be, because the date on it is significant. Other Rishonim say, rather, we learn it from the fact that later on in the Masechta, there's a Mishnah, we quoted already before, we're going to quote it again on other days, that says that if you have a get that does not have a date on it, then the Chatzchila, you should not use it to remarry, but if she does, then have Lav Tosha, the children are not considered on the date. That Mishnah is it without the Mishnah, but from that Mishnah, well, it's not a continuation, it's much later in the Masechta, towards the end, but still, we see from that Mishnah there has to be a date and a get, and without that, it's Chatzchila possible. So why do you need a date in a get? Rabbi Yochanan says the reason is because what if you have the guy is married to his niece, which is a wild halacha, and in fact in Yevamos, in fact, we learned that it's an ideal thing to do when it's appropriate because a niece is the closest blood relative a person is able to marry, a man is able to marry. Therefore, he's likely to have warmer feelings towards her, so it makes for better shalom bayis. No, it's not to say that you can't have shalom bayis without it, but it makes an extra closer relationship. So now the problem is, what if this wife now is mizana? So the husband is going to want to try to save her, which again, it doesn't have to be basa choyse. The same thing could be if she's not related to him by blood, but it's more likely if she's basa choyse, if she's his niece or other close relative, that he's going to want to try to save her. So what's he going to do? He'll give her an undated get. Then when they bring her to Beis Din to try her for this nus, he'll say, what's the problem? She was already divorced at that time. Like this, we have to have a date on it. We can look, is the date before or after the nus?
Very unlikely situation.
But we'll talk about it on the Beis, the likelihood or unlikelihood of it. Actually, the Rishami mentions an actual case history that happened with that, indeed with Bas HaChoysa, indeed with a person's niece, which may be why Rabbi Yechon uses the expression of Mishum Bas HaChoysa, because there was an actual case involving somebody's niece who was his wife.
There was one case.
No, if there's one case, there could be others, whatever. Rish Lakish Amar Mishum Peiris. Rish Lakish says there's a different issue. There's Peiris. Namely, we know, we learned in Ksubas extensively, that a wife brings in Nichsim Lorg into the marriage, where she owns the actual property or the actual object of value, whatever it is, and the husband is entitled to Peiris from it. So Rashi says, what would happen if the husband sells any of these? So the husband is entitled to the Peiris as long as they're married. What would happen if he goes ahead and sells them? Well, but the point is, if the get does not have a date, then when she brings him to Beis Din, he's going to say, so what's the problem? We were still married all this time. Yes, you have a get in your hand, but I only gave it to you yesterday, when in fact he gave it to her 3 weeks ago. And therefore, and therefore he's been illegally taking those payers. So
he's saying that the property belongs to both.
No, not the property belongs to both. The property definitely belongs to her, but the payers, he's going to claim that I divorced you only yesterday, and therefore up until yesterday I'm entitled to the payers. She's going to counterclaim and say that that's what Rashi is saying.
Ah.
Yeah.
Are you saying he sold the property?
No, I didn't say he sold the payers. Ah. If I said he sold the property, I misspoke. Tosfos discusses another possibility that actually we may be talking about the time between when the get is written and when it's signed, whether he's entitled to Peiros or not. Anyway, so Rish Lakish, my time alone, I'm a Rabbi Yechanan. So why doesn't Rish Lakish agree with Rabbi Yechanan's reason? I'm a Malach, he can answer, like you said, Znus, Vashticha. It's not that common for there to be Znus. We don't have to make a special takana of Zman and get in for that reason. Which brings, by the way, Tosfos to a question. At the beginning of Ksubas, we learned the reason why, because we said that the first mission in Ksubas says Besula Nifasli Emirvi, that a Besula gets married usually on Wednesday. Why? Because it's where? So the Tainas Besula, because the Tainas, if she's not a Besula, she was a Zana or whatever, he can go to Beis Din and get it straightened out. So we made a takana that all the Besulas get married on Wednesday because there's a real possibility of Znus. What are you telling me all of a sudden that he was Znus is a rare thing? There's a lot of different reasons. Tosfos themselves gives the reason that there's more of a worry about the future that she might be Mizaneh rather than that she was Mizaneh. The case we're talking about over here is you're saying while they were married, she may have been Mizaneh and therefore you need a date on the get. That's a much less likely thing to worry about than that she might be Mizaneh sometime before the wedding and therefore we need to make a takana of the wedding. Also, Tosfos gives another answer. The point is, if she were to be Mizaneh over there, she would be also to him forever. Here he's divorcing her anyway. And if it turns out she was Mizaneh, but we don't have evidence because the get is undated, he's still divorcing her anyway. He's not gonna be staying with her in the issue. So there's that, a few other reasons that we're showing him give possibilities. Maybe there's a difference between an Arusa and an Asua. An Arusa might be more likely to be Mizaneh. She's not directly under her husband's roof. She's more able to. And we're talking about there about an Arusa. Here we're talking about an Asua usually. The get is usually only after Nisuin. And there it's much less likely that she'll be able to be Mizaneh. Okay, so therefore, so Rish Lakish doesn't like Rabbi Yechanan's reason. Rabbi Yechanan, my time alone, I'm a Rish Lakish. Okay, why isn't Rabbi Yechanan like Rish Lakish's reason about the Peiros? Because he holds Yesh Labal Peiros Hachas Tefinah. Because he says, as a matter of fact, the husband is entitled to Peiros until the get is delivered, so it doesn't matter when the get was written.
Why does Rish Lakish think it's not?
Because once the get was written.
What's his basis to believe that?
Because the,
I agree with Yochanan.
Okay, you agree.
It makes sense to reason. What's Rish Lakish's reason to the?
Well, I mean, put it this way. Also, you know, I mean, ultimately, later on, when you're going to want to prove who the payers belong to, you need some kind of defined thing to be able to demonstrate when the time of payers is over. If you're going to go. And the signature is on the same day the get is written. That's the point. So therefore, Rish Lakish's thing is that you go according to the date when the date of the get is the date when payers are over, or the date also when the.
You said just before that. The get is dated based on a ksiva, not based on a chasiva.
No, but that's what we said in the Mishnah, that if the get is written by day and signed even the following night, then it's possible, because it's predated.
Right.
meaning the signatures have to take place on the same day it's written.
Of course.
So then, in other words,
the date is written when the ksiva starts.
But it's all on the same day, as opposed to the get might only be delivered a week later.
Yes.
So Rish Lakish is saying that as of when the get is written and signed, at that point already, yes, it's true, it's not in effect yet until it's actually delivered. Nevertheless, at that point, the husband loses the right to pay this.
When it's written and signed.
When it's the date that it's written and signed.
Right.
Therefore, we need a date on it. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, you don't need a date on it, because anyway, the husband is still entitled to pay this until the get actually comes into effect when it reaches her.
So the opinion of Rish Lakish is because of a proof?
I don't know if that's the only reason, but yeah, there is that. There is that. You do need.
It's not valid until it's delivered.
No, but you still do need to be able to prove, first of all, between the husband and wife themselves, but second of all, between third parties. If the husband, you know, we talk about in Ksubas, for example, cases where if the wife sells some of the nichsim aluv, you know, when the husband has the right to object, vice versa, et cetera, all these things become important. So therefore, we need some kind of defined date on it, and Rish Lakish is saying that we go according to the date of the get. So, Bishlam and Rish Lakish, so I can understand then, according to Rish Lakish's reason, Mishum Hachi Kamach Rav Shimon, well then evidently that's why Rav Shimon says that it's kosher, he's not worried about predating the get, because Rav Shimon would take the view that it doesn't matter, as soon as he intends to divorce her, then he gets no more payers. The whole idea we talked
about
in Subas, Bechlal, what's the reason why the husband is entitled to pay this anyway, is we said that there's a whole bunch of quid pro quos over there. The husband gets certain benefits from his wife. No, not because he's the husband, but because he has certain obligations towards her.
Okay, being a husband.
Fine, but so I don't remember now which one we
say that before his husband would have finished.
So one second. I think what we said over there, if I remember correctly, what we said over there is he gets paid us in return for my CEO Dell.
Yes.
He's entitled to her earnings, therefore, that doesn't make sense. My paid us was, I don't remember now. What? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe parallel to the fact. No, because the CEO also goes to him. Let me find it real quick. He gets paid us in return for something else that in return for something that she gets from him. I think Panotha maybe, or maybe Mizonis or something. The fact that if she gets captured by Goyim, that he's going to be required to do Pidyon Shvuyim, in return for that he gets paid us. We had a bit of discussion. We had a bit of discussion about that, but that's what the Gemara concluded. So maybe the idea is, according to Shimon, and to a certain extent, according to Rish Lakish, then the idea is that once he plans ready to divorce her, at that point, if she's captured, he's not going to go to the trouble of freeing her any more than anybody else would. He'll anyway probably leave it up to the Sidur to do. Therefore, he's not entitled to pay her. Where's Shimon? I would say. Okay. Anyway, so Bishlam and Rish Lakish, Rishim Hachi Kamach Rav Shimon. So I can understand, then that would be exactly why Rav Shimon says I'm not worried about a predated get, because even if it's predated, it's dated as of when the husband planned to divorce her, because that's the whole point. It was written on a Wednesday and signed on a Thursday, and at that point, from Wednesday already, he's not entitled to pay this. So therefore, Rav Shimon has no problem with it being predated.
Because
that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about where he predated it, like he wrote it now and he predated it to last year. We're talking about he wrote it on one day and had it signed the next day. So when the Edom are signing... Nothing Edom means he planned to. But yeah, it includes writing the get, yeah.
He ordered the get, yeah.
El Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon de Machshir. According to Rabbi Yochanan about the business of Bat HaKhoisar, then why would Rabbi Shimon hold that a predated get is kosher? The answer is, Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, I'll live with the Rav Shimon, like I'm in it. Very well, I'm not saying according to Rav Shimon. You're right, Rav Shimon, the fact that Rav Shimon says that there's supposed to be a time written in a get obviously can't be because of the Bas HaChoseh issue. It must be because of the Tavis issue. And therefore, he's not worried about it being predated because anyway, he's not entitled to Tavis from that point on. Rabbi Yochanan would say, this that I'm saying, the reason is Mishum Bas HaChoseh is only according to the Rabbanon, not according to Rav Shimon. I'm only talking according to the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim would say that it's not because of Peiris, because they disagree. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Chachamim have a double disagreement with Rabbi Shimon. Number one, Rabbi Shimon is saying that a predated get is kosher, and the Chachamim are saying it's fossil. Number two, Rabbi Shimon is saying that the husband's not entitled to Peiris as of when nothing ends with Garsha, as of when he planned to divorce her and then and have the get written. And the Chachamim would say that would be Rabbi Shimon. And the Rabbanon would say that the husband's entitled to pay this ad shach nesina until the get actually goes into effect. Okay. Fine, let's continue the discussion. Then we can understand well according to Rabbi Yechon and Hainu the Ikabin Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon. In that case, then that would be exactly the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. This double machlokas over here. Now we understand what the reasoning is. According to Rish Lakish, why does Rabbi Shimon machshir a predated get and the Rabbanon are passing it? The answer is, Peter the Meshach Tzim of Atchach Chassim Ikebenayu. They would disagree. What about the Peters of the property from when the get was written until it was signed? According to Rabbi Shimon, as soon as the get is signed, remember, according to Rish Lakish, the husband loses payrus as soon as the get is signed. But according to Rabbi Shimon, the Rish Lakish would say that's what the Chacham hold. Rabbi Shimon would hold he loses it even earlier, from the time of writing. So therefore, if the get is written on Wednesday and delivered on Thursday, Rish Lakish would say as follows. Rish Lakish would say, if the get is written, let's say it differently. The get is written on Wednesday, signed on Thursday, delivered on Friday. Rabbi Yochanan would hold that according to Chachamim, the husband only loses Tavis as of Friday. Yesh Labal Tavis at Shach Nesina, only when the get goes into effect, which is Friday, once delivered. Rabbi Yochanan would say that Rabbi Shimon says that he loses payrus as of Wednesday when the get is written. So therefore, that's why if the get is written on Wednesday, signed on Thursday, delivered on Friday, Rabbi Shimon has no problem with that because you anyway go according to the date it was written and ready from Wednesday, he loses payrus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he only loses payrus from Friday when it delivered. And therefore, the Chachamim are going to pass a predated get because it's written, the date on it is written Thursday. It is written Wednesday, but it was actually only signed on Thursday, and therefore no good. And you still have the problem of Bas HaChayfei, which is a Yechanan's problem. The problem is, in other words, what if he's Mizana on Thursday, and the husband gives her a get, which actually was signed only later that day on Thursday, but it's predated Wednesday, and therefore he claims she was already a Penuria at that point, and is not Chayfei. Now, according to Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish would say that Rish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Shimon would be the same as Rabbi Yochanan, that the husband loses payrus as of Wednesday. The Chachamim, according to Rish Lakish, would say he loses it as of Thursday. Friday doesn't come into the picture. It's only Chassiva or Chassiva.
When it's signed,
according to Chachamim. So therefore, so Rabbi Shimon, according to Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish would say nobody's concerned about the Chosei because Znuth is weird. The Chachamim are concerned about payers, therefore they won't allow the get to be written on Wednesday and dated on Wednesday and signed on Thursday, because then you're going to have the problem with payers, that the husband is going to claim that he was entitled, that the husband is going to the husband is going to sell payers on is going to sell payers on Thursday and claim that he was still entitled to them when really he wasn't entitled as of Wednesday already. The other way around. Let me see. So, according to, not, Rabbi Yochanan we dealt with already. This is Rish Lakish we're dealing with now. According to Rish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon would say he loses payrus as of Wednesday, but Chachamim would say he loses payrus as of Thursday. So therefore, you can't have a predated yet. Okay. So that would be the nachkamina between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, according to Rish Lakish. The question is, don't we find Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish saying the other way around? At what point do we take out from the property to pay for payus, that the husband, at what point do we take it away from the husband as far as payus? Rabbi Yochanan says the husband loses payus as of when the get is written, which is the position we just said Rish Lakish holds, and Rish Lakish holds from when it's delivered, which we said is Rabbi Yochanan's position. The answer is April. We have to flip it around. So what do we mean flip it around? So Tosfos and most other Rishonim say it means you have to flip around the second discussion that we just had. This second machlokas that Rabbi Yochanan says Mishas Ksiva and Rish Lakish says Mishas Nesina, flip it around. Rabbi Yochanan is saying Mishas Nesina, which agrees with what we said before, and Rish Lakish would say Mishas Ksiva, which agrees with what he said before. The Rishonim bring from the Itur who wants to explain the other way around, that actually we should leave that machlokas as it is and flip around the earlier machlokas, the previous machlokas of how to understand Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim and our Mishnah. Okay, the Itur brings proof from the fact that the Rishami brings Rabbi Yochanan's opinion the opposite of the way we have it here in the Gemara. Most Rishonim don't accept that, though. Most Rishonim say that we should flip around the second one. Okay. Amalei Abaye l'Rabbi Yosef, in that case, if we're saying then that a get has to have a date on it for these two reasons that we're giving, then how about consider the case Dimu Gitim Sulin, the Mishnah at the end of the Masechta, that says there are three kinds of Gitim that are possible, the Nisus of Lad Kosher, but if she remarried using one of these Gitim, the Dievid will say the children are Kosher, they're not Mamzerim. And one of them is the case where it's properly signed by Edim, but there's no date. You have to ask if a get is b'dievet kosher without a date. Can my ilu chachamim b'takanasim? My ilu chachamim b'takanasim. So then, what do the chachamim accomplish with their takana? If the whole point of having the date is and avoids problems of basa chose and it avoids problems of paris, so what good does it do if b'dievet a get without a date? Rabbi Yosef is asking based on the Mishnah. Based on the Mishnah, neither Rabbi Yochanan nor Rish Lakish can argue with it, and certainly Rabbi Yosef can't. So if that Mishnah is implying that the Dieva, the get without a date, is kosher, then how does the Takana help in that case? You still could have a get that's delivered without a date, and the Dieva will be kosher, and you won't be able to. The whole discussion falls apart, yeah. The answer is, Ahanu, Dilhatchila, let you not say fine, but still, the Takana helps. Dilhatchila, she should not marry with that. So therefore, if somebody were to write a get without a date, it's true, in principle, a person could write a get by himself, but usually they don't, especially some of the Rishonim point out the Gemara's assumption is that the average person doesn't know how to write a get. Only the Sefer HaDayanim usually do, the scribes who work for the Beis Din. They're not going to be willing to write a get without a date. So
the point is that maybe they will, but if they do.
But do it, no rabbi's going to marry them.
Well, there is that.
No, but
it's a fair point. No, what he was saying is a fair point. So Rashi is taking it to the point of view that the Sefer HaDayanim are never going to write such a get, and Edim are never going to sign on it. But you're saying maybe you could find some rogue Sefer HaDayanim award or some rogue Edim award. Fine, but you're also not going to find, they should then have to find another a Beis Din that's going to accept that and allow her to remarry. You're not going to do that. But then, there is that point, that's true, but here we're dealing more with the get side of it, because again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're dealing with Basa Chose, and according to Rish Lakish, we're dealing with Paris. Both of those are things that come into play at the time of the divorce. So therefore, it's more important we have to make sure that such a get is not written in the first place, because then it could be used to cover up for Basa Chose, or it could be used to illegally obtain Paris.
We agree with that.
That's what we're saying. But the point of it is, the Chachamim made the Takana. Yes, the Dieved was saying that we're not going to make the children Mamzerim. But Chachilah, we're not going to allow her to remarry with that. Therefore, since Chachilah, such a get is no good, then no Sefer Dayanim is going to write such a get, and no Edim. You're not going to find a Sefer Dayanim to write one without a date, and you're not going to find Edim to sign one. Okay, how about he asks another possibility? Gazil is not the day of the Yave Niele. What about, you could have a case where a get is written with a date, but then the husband cuts off the date and gives it to her. And again, the idea of it is that he's going to use it to cover up, she can use it as a cover up, for in the case of Basa Choser, you can use it for payers. So then you have to ask Mai, so then what would be the din? Amalei says, well, Mai like Hashin. We're not worried about such a level of dishonesty. So Rashi says, in other words, it'll be blatantly obvious. It'll be very obvious to everybody that this get, that there's something the matter with it. So nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to make themselves publicly exposed as a liar. Tosfos brings in an interesting point based on a Gemara and Yevamos. The way Rashi explains the Gemara and Yevamos over there implies that if she has a get in her possession, but the date is erased, or in our case over here in the Gemara is cut off, we will automatically, on that basis, assume that the date was after Huznus, and therefore we could use that as a basis for executing her. That's how Rashi explains it in Yevamos. Well, that's, in other words, because you have basically what you have over there is you have very strong evidence. I mean, why is the date missing?
Strong evidence of the date, exactly, the real date.
No, but you have strong evidence that it was asked, that the original date was after the Znus, and therefore that she was an Eishes Ish at the time, and therefore she should be Chayav Nisa, and she tried to cut it off in order to save herself.
What's the evidence if there's no date coming?
So that's what Tosfos asks. So,
the date was erased.
Erased or cut off, whatever. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's the point. Rashi over there in Yevamos says that itself is the biggest proof, the cover-up itself. It's not a crime, it's the cover-up, as the famous expression goes. So the very fact that the date is cut off shows that the date must have been after the news. One of the Achronim, if I remember correctly, the Pnei Yeshua asks that. He says, because, remember, I mean, obviously there has to be a straw and has to be a hit to Asma the Mitzah. Fine, but she could still say, you know what, later on they come to Beis Din, they start putting her on trial. What are you know, Adam warned you. You said, Alpha PK, and I'm doing it anyway. She'll say at that point, you know what, ha, joke's on you. He was my guest. We want to avoid that.
But it's too Adam. I mean,
no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many Adam there are. They warned her, don't do this because you're going to be high admissa. She says, Alpha PK, and I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. But now, when it comes to trial, she says, you know what, I didn't tell the Adam this. I wanted to play a practical joke on them. I wanted to make them think that they were going to have a chance to hold me into base and get me executed. But really, I have a guest in my hand.
That situation will still consider that she was...
No, so that's the version. In other words, so that's the thing. If we're going to say that a guest is kosher without a date on it, then how are we helping the situation? It's still going to be possible for her to get away with it. Now,
but if there is a date, and the date is erased, and 218 comma.
So 1 second. So that's the thing. That's what Tosfos is discussing over here. So Rashi over there in Yevamos says that if the date is erased, we can actually use that as evidence that there was a date after the Znus over there, and therefore she should be Chayav Nisa. Tosfos argues on that because how can you use that, especially based on our Gemara? Our Gemara is, well, not only is it a topic, but our Gemara is implying exactly the other way around.
So
that it's kosher without a date, and yes, we can use it as yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So.
Fine, so that's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Different acronyms talk about different possibilities, how we can reconcile what Rashi says. I was just going to say that, for example, I mean, one possibility is when we say that the date was cut out, where is that date exactly? If it was in the middle of the get or is it at the beginning of the get? That makes a difference.
Right. I was going to say that we said that the get is kosher without the date. We didn't say the get was kosher with an erased date. Cut off.
Same difference, though. I mean, if we're saying that it's kosher, but yet it without a date, then it means, regardless of
if she cut it off.
And as a matter of actually, the Rambam Paskins, based on our Gemara, that yes, if the get was written with a date, and then the date was cut off and it was given to her, then it's kosher.
Even in this case.
So actually, then, Meforshim on the Rambam explained that he would understand our Gemara when we say that Amai Lechashinen means we're not worried about that people are going to, like, sort of like what Rashi says, that people are not going to show themselves as such blatant liars like that. Therefore, we have no reason to worry about the fact that right now there's no date on the get, because we can still assume it to be a kosher get. What about, he asked, what about if the get does not have an exact date on it? Instead, it just has, for example, that it took place in such and such a shmita within the Yovel cycle, or shana within such and such a year, or chodesh within such and such a month, or Shabbos within such and such a week, during the week of Parshas Shmos, without specifying a date. Or the Rambam has an explanation, let's say, for example, the get says it was given during the second week of Tevis, let's say. Without giving an exact date. My, what would be the din? Amalei kosher. So he says, that's fine. That would be kosher even the chachila, Rashi says. Then, okay, other mafarshim say only be the yevet. The chachila, again, should be written with a proper date on it. Okay, then the question again becomes, Mahi, look, chacham, b'takonasen. Then according to that, how does the takana help? then in that case, if you're able to write a get, for example, that has, let's say, it was only written, it only says on it that it was written sometime in the year Tavshin Ayin Vav. How does that help? She could have been Mizana earlier in the year. She could be Mizana earlier in the year, and you'll claim that it was given the day after Rosh Hashanah or something. So he answers, Ahana, l'shavur d'kameh, l'shavur d'basri. Fine, but at least it helps for the previous Shemitah cycle and the following Shemitah cycle. Fine, it means, in other words, that at least we'll be able to say, fine, it's relative, yeah, at least you know if she was Mizana years before, then you'll be able to, which my Rav Shif points out as a practical matter, if a woman is Mizana, it takes time until you figure it out, it takes time until you decide to write a guess or whatever, meanwhile, many years can pass. So yes, it is relevant. And he doesn't have to say that because otherwise, if you're not going to say that logic, yoyim a gufay after all, even if you have a proper date written on the get, miya dinin imit safarei mipanya, the fact is, even then, you don't know if it was written in the morning or the evening. Like we said before, you don't write hours in it. You don't write the hour of the day in a get. Elo le yoyim a dukame, elo yoyim a dabaster. Obviously, it helps, but at least if the get is written and signed, and therefore dated on Wednesday, let's say, then it tells us if she was mizana on Tuesday, then we know she's chayiv misa. If she's mizana on Thursday, she's not chayiv misa. So fine, we don't know about Wednesday itself. Fine, but at least we narrow down the possibility. Hakanami ahana l'shavur d'kameh or l'shavur d'basri. Fine, the same thing over here. The logic is, even if all you wrote is it's the third Shemitah cycle in the Yovel, fine, but at least you know she was Mizana in the previous Shemitah cycle, then she is Chayav Mitzvah, and so forth. And one more possibility, Amalei Ravina L'Rava, Kastve V'Oisve B'Kiste, what about, you can have a case where the husband wrote the get and had it signed and put it in his pocket for a long time, planning the Himafai Satifai, just figuring that this way, he does plan to divorce her, but he figures that meanwhile he'll have a chance to try and talk her out of it, to try and reconcile with her. My, so what would be the din then? You're still going to have the get is written one day, but it's not delivered. He orders it written. He keeps it with him. Then he tries to write, and meanwhile, it's in his pocket all this time. They put a date on it. That's the point. So how does that date help if the fact is that it's been sitting in his pocket for a month?
So that goes back to our previous argument.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be delivered.
That's fine, but that was you said a point to Shimon, but not a point to Chachamim. Yeah. On the light, like Machin Inish Puranus or Napsha. Yes, but a person does not bring ahead of time a Puranus for himself. Meaning, Rashi says basically that a person who does not really want to divorce his wife, he just has to get written in advance because he knows he's not getting along with her. He's kind of not going to do that because having a get written in advance is basically it's not dangerous, but it's almost like bad luck. Like a person is not going to want to have it written ahead of time. A person doesn't want to plan for the worst, basically. But therefore, no, he'll only write the get when it's actually needed. He's not going to write it ahead of time. But it's an unusual situation, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. I believe that the Ramban has a different explanation of this. He says basically the idea is what's going to happen then if he writes this get and then let's say he only actually decides to divorce her, it only becomes final and he actually divorces her and gives it to her a month later. When people see the date on it, they're going to say, "Ha! Look at this guy. He didn't even bother trying to reconcile with his wife. He just right away wrote out a get and divorced her." They're not going to realize that he actually held them in his pocket for a month. Let's say, for example, he wrote it in Kislev.
Right.
Meanwhile, he's trying to reconcile with his wife.
Yeah.
He finally, in Tavis, he gives up and then delivers it to her.
Right.
The Ramban's thought is that people are going to say, he's not going to do that because people are going to look badly at him. People are going to say, what kind of lowlife are you? You had a fight with your wife in Kislev, so you divorced her right then in Kislev. You didn't even try to reconcile. So therefore, a person's not going to do that.